Industries have long been criticized for their environmental impact, but some companies are starting to break away from the pack and set new standards for sustainability and innovation. These companies aren't just cutting back on emissions and waste, but are reinventing their entire life cycle of their products. And who they are may surprise you. But it's not just about cleaning up their act. Many of the clever solutions being implemented also help the bottom line. Everything from using more recycled materials to using cutting-edge technologies for a more nimble manufacturing system. I even had a chance to see some of this firsthand. For a greener, more sustainable future, industry is going to have to make some big changes. How can it be done? And more importantly, can they even achieve it? I'm Matt Farrell. Welcome to Undecided. This video is brought to you by BMW. As many of you already know from my previous videos, I'm a fan of EVs, solar panel technology, and energy storage for the home. That, plus the many other technologies that are available to us, make it easier for each of us as individuals to clean up our acts. But that will only get us so far. It's going to take big industries to make a substantial difference in finding a more sustainable way forward. For instance, in 2022, global e-waste reached a record 62 million metric tons, which is an 82% increase from 2010. And projections are saying that we're going to hit 82 million metric tons by 2030. Vehicle manufacturing, particularly the painting process, consumes a significant amount of water resources. And shipping all of those consumer electronics and cars around, they contribute approximately 3% of global CO2 emissions. Not to mention the incredible air pollution that's created by ships burning heavy fuel oil. Now, before I jump into what some companies are doing about this, I want to make it clear that the cool stuff I'm about to hit on is not a get-out-of-jail-free card for any company. There's still a long way to go in all of this, but I do find what the companies are doing pretty exciting. It's showing that there is a path forward. So to kick things off, despite the name Apple, this tech giant's electronics don't exactly grow on trees. And yet Apple is blazing trails in sustainability. Aiming to become a carbon neutral business by 2030, Apple has been steadily re-engineering its products and packaging to reduce waste and incorporate recycled materials. The company is famous for the sleek aluminum bodies of its phones, tablets, and computers, a metal that's not only durable, but also endlessly recyclable. Only recently, though, has Apple engineered an alloy from 100% recycled aluminum that meets design performance standards. That means the enclosures for the Mac Studio, Mac Mini, MacBook Pro, MacBook Air, and iPad are now crafted entirely from recycled aluminum. In 2023, 71% of aluminum across Apple's product lines was recycled, resulting in a 68% reduction in aluminum-associated emissions compared to 2015 levels. Given the environmental and human costs of mining, it's critical that as much mineral content as possible is recouped, recycled, and repurposed. In 2023, more than half of the cobalt and nearly one quarter of the lithium in Apple product batteries come from post-industrial and post-consumer recycled scrap. That same year, roughly a quarter of the gold in Apple products, from the plating on printed circuit boards to the USB-C connector in the iPhone 15, came from certified recycled sources. And Apple boosted its recycled tungsten content to 99%. Hold up a MacBook Air with M3 and half the weight in your hand is recycled material. Some of it may have even come from a previous Apple product that was collected through the company's trade-in program and disassembled by an employee following directions from an augmented reality system. Or perhaps the materials came from one of the 29 iPhone models that Daisy, Apple's custom-designed robot, can disassemble into individual components for recycling. Of course, Apple's famously sleek products are known for their equally slick packaging, but product packaging is responsible for nearly half of the global plastic waste each year. To reach its goal of carbon neutrality, Apple has reduced plastic in its packaging to just 3% in 2023. The company is now aiming for 100% fiber-based packaging, which is achieved with the fall 2024 Apple Watch lineup. It might seem risky for a brand that's known for premium unboxing experiences to switch to more sustainable packaging materials, but Apple is keeping it classy by printing labels directly on its boxes and overcoating it with varnish instead of adding a plastic laminate or separate label. These painted labels ensure that branded packaging can break down like cereal boxes in municipal waste streams. Apple is also ensuring that its fibers used in their packaging come from recycled paper, responsibly managed forests, bamboo, and even sugarcane waste. And taking its commitment even further, Apple is teaming up with RISE Research Institutes of Sweden to develop a wood pulp-based foam for product protection during shipping. It's a material designed to be tossed into the recycling bin alongside paper. Now, Apple isn't the only company taking steps to reduce packaging waste and go sustainable. For a company that ships 10,000 cars and 36 million parts a day to production networks worldwide, BMW is taking big steps to reduce, reuse, and recycle. And while BMW is sponsoring this video, I only agreed to work with the company because they're doing some very cool things that I thought you'd like to see. Like I said in the beginning, none of what I'm covering in this video gives any companies a get-out-of-jail-free card. BMW also left the editorial control of the video up to me and gave some incredible access to the factories. After visiting their San Luis Potosí factory in Mexico and the Dingolfing factory in Germany, I have to say, I'm very impressed. BMW's goal is to reduce CO2 emissions by 40% per vehicle by 2030 compared to 2019 over the entire life cycle. It's implemented a strategy it calls the iFactory. It's all about using digitalization and tools like data science and artificial intelligence to make a super efficient, precise, and flexible production system. This not only helps them with the bottom line, but with their climate goals. And you might think the iFactory sounds just like a marketing gimmick, because I know I did, but there's really something to it. Many automotive companies are building out brand new plants and manufacturing lines to manufacture EVs, but BMW is taking a different approach. Their company doesn't have dedicated lines that make only a specific car or drivetrain. Its production lines can make a wide variety of makes, models, and drivetrains back to back. For instance, this production line in the Dingolfing factory was producing gasoline models on the same line as hybrids and EVs, all at the same time. Now, as they put it to me, the factory can easily follow customer demand and change things up on the fly while we transition to EVs. BMW is also using LiDAR and virtual reality to help them keep up-to-date maps on their facilities. This helps them to be very quick and precise with changing customer demands and production planning. They've digitally mapped their entire production network. It allows production designers located in the headquarters to check out the maps in a web app that's very similar to Google Street View. This makes it easier to rework production lines and plan out changes that are needed.
And now if you want to start to rescan a factory, you will go to three of those points. You will just scan them, and then the software knows exactly where you are. Okay. And you can just walk around, and the scanner will generate a picture. So if you go, just walk some meters, you will see your display,
okay.
Everything which is dark gets like...
Oh, I see. It's lighting up. One picture.
The company has also been using LiDAR extensively throughout the facility to help automate moving finished cars through the quality assurance testing without a driver. BMW has partnered with Embotech to make this a reality. And I could make an entire video just on this system. It was a little crazy. Now, what the team is doing with this was pretty surprising to me. When the final cars come off the end of the production line, the factory itself makes a secure connection to the car, drives the car off the line, and through the quality assurance test drive. It's not the car driving itself, but the factory driving the car. The benefit is not having to transport a human worker from the end of the quality assurance area back to the end of the production line each time a car is finished. There's also a benefit from the factory centrally controlling and automatically driving everything versus having independently driven cars. Like I said, I could make an entire video just on this part, but there's more. Many companies like BMW need to use one-way packaging materials to ship parts to various factories around the world. Now, the problem the company ran into was that the dimensions of the standard European pallet didn't fit the standard shipping containers used globally. So BMW developed a new modular box design to not only better fit the shipping containers, but to also reduce the amount of cardboard that needs to be recycled per trip. The new PAL 973 box design allows the factory to fill the shipping container completely, and this results in a 30% improvement in space optimization. There's also no need for any kind of void fillers like inflatable dunnage bags to keep the boxes from shifting during transit. Now, what this means in the end is that fewer shipping containers are needed overall, which reduces costs and shipping emissions. And these one-way boxes can also be reused for a second use by adding a clever, thin, secondary cardboard sleeve. This not only covers the old shipping labels, but adds a little extra rigidity and support for the second use. It may not be sexy, but companies can dramatically reduce their waste around logistics. Seemingly small changes to a box can have profound impacts. Now, as much as I geek out on logistics and genuinely loved seeing what BMW was doing with all of that, the thing that impressed me the most was probably the paint shop at the company's San Luis Potosí plant. This facility is in the desert, so water is a very precious resource. Painting cars takes a lot of water and heat. For instance, BMW Group has reported that the manufacture of each vehicle at their San Luis Potosí plant uses 1.12 megawatts of energy, 1.52 cubic meters of water, and produces about 0.08 tons of CO2. Julian Ledesma showed me around their paint shop water reclamation and heat recovery system. If you haven't seen this process before, it's really wild. It involves dipping the entire car into vats of various chemicals, which all starts with the pre-treatment line and gets the car ready for painting. The tanks are full of microcrystals of phosphate, zinc, manganese, and nickel.
With these three phosphate crystals, we can generate the mechanical adhesion property to the next or to the following coating layers.
Okay.
The water is also heated to 60 degrees Celsius or 140 degrees Fahrenheit as the cars are slowly rotated and lowered into the chemical bath.
Here you can perceive that it's very hot.
Oh, yeah.
In front, in the next, is
my glasses just steamed up.
Yes.
After that step, they're put through rinsing tanks. The goal is to leave a metal with a microcrystalline phosphate coating, which will help the base coat of paint adhere in the e-coat process. Now, all of this water is actually reused. All of it. Like 100% of it. They have an extensive water recovery process that at a high level is using three things. Physicochemical treatment, bioreactor and filter media, and the ion exchanger to remove ions, which results in deionized water at the end.
All of this room is dedicated to recovered water. We are operating 24/7. We have a team that comes on site every day at any hour in order to control and to make sure that the bacteria is working. Yeah. Because from the bacteria side, we control the oxygen in the bioreactor, the amount of water they have, the amount of nutrients they need, the level of the population of the bacteria, and we can control that. If we are not doing that, we will kill our ecosystem there.
Bottom line, it's clean and ready to use all over again in the production process and other alternative services like irrigation and sanitation. And fun fact, that waste extracted from water even gets a second life.
These kind of components can be used in a concrete industry, this big concrete industry as an alternative fuel or as an additive of aggregation of the concrete from the streets and so on.
But it's not just about the water, it's also about the heat. Remember how I mentioned that part about the process requiring 60 degrees Celsius or about 140 degrees Fahrenheit? The paint shop needs a lot of heat, so they capture the exhaust heat from the system and reuse it elsewhere in the plant.
After that, there is only rinse and then an oven cure to cure all the paints and to make sure that everything is, all the solvents are evaporated. We have heat exchangers in the ovens that save energy because all the remaining heat that goes in the chimney,
yeah.
Before that, we remove all the heat and use it, for example, to heat it up my tanks here.
Julian took me below the paint shop automation line to see what it looked like from underneath. This is where you could see the heat exchanger set up.
The blue ones are the heat exchangers, liquid and liquids. In one stream, I get the hot water coming out from the heat exchanger from the ovens and from the boiler. And in another stream, all the water inside of the tanks. And with this cross link, we can transfer the heat from one water to another one.
Yep.
And then we are making sure that we control the temperature. For example, this pipe sent back all the exhaust airs and all the very hot airs and sent back to the beginning in order to save energy as well and to reduce the gas consumption. Also, in that regard, we are burning the VOCs. We have a very good level of VOC emission because we can have this kind of technology that avoids sends out the VOC and first burn it in the burner here.
This setup isn't that different from the de-superheater setup I have on my HVAC system in my house. My geothermal HVAC system captures the waste heat from the compressor and dumps it into a hot water holding tank. It's basically preheating my water before it goes into the heat pump hot water tank, which saves me an incredible amount of energy for hot water. The idea is very similar here, but at an industrial scale. BMW is saving about 200 cubic meters of natural gas per month by reusing this waste heat. Apple, BMW, and nearly all companies rely on road, rail, air, or maritime freight to get supplies to their manufacturing sites and to distribute their merchandise. Even companies committed to recycling their own products and reusing those materials still need to start with shipped goods. Right now, if you add in the emissions of ports and warehouses, freight transportation accounts for about 11% of global emissions. Moving goods via plane is by far the most damaging, emitting over 500 grams of CO2 per ton kilometer. But moving goods by boat is a whole lot easier on the carbon budget at only 6.5 grams. And that's despite 95% of ships in 2023 being fueled by petroleum products like heavy fuel oil and marine diesel. With 3/4 of the world's goods transported by ocean-going ships, what if we could make maritime shipping sustainable? What if massive container ships could run on renewable energy? That's exactly what maritime shipping giant Maersk is striving for. This Danish company is aiming for a net zero carbon emissions by 2040. That's 10 years ahead of the International Maritime Organization's voluntary target of net zero shipping by 2050. But how are they going to get to net zero? Well, by renewing its fleet in vessels powered by renewable fuel sources like biodiesel, methanol, and good old wind. Biodiesel is great because it can be burned in a regular diesel engine, but the supply of biodiesel from waste streams is limited. So in January of 2024, Maersk launched its first dual-fuel container ship, the Ane Maersk, which can accept either regular marine fuels or preferably biomethanol. The company has signed for a total of 25 dual-fuel methanol ships, 7 of which have already been delivered, and it plans on chartering more. In 2025 and 2026, Maersk will equip 5 tankers in its fleet with e-sails, which are expected to reduce fuel consumption and therefore emissions by double-digit percentages. Developed by the company Bound for Blue, these 26-meter sails feature masts that automatically adjust to catch the wind, while fans inside the mast suck air across the rigid sail surface. This suction design generates 6 to 7 times more lift than conventional sails for the same surface area, resulting in super efficient propulsion. Now, wind is everywhere, except when it's not. And so are petroleum-based fuels. But methanol is not available everywhere yet, and certainly not in the quantities needed by container ships. That's why Maersk signed an agreement with LONGi Green Energy Technology in China to produce enough methanol to cover half the fuel needs of its methanol fleet by 2027. This biomethanol is produced from straw and fruit tree cuttings, reducing emissions by 65% compared to petroleum-based fuels. Maersk's contract with LONGi builds on existing methanol agreements with private companies in the US, Asia, Europe, alongside deals made with governments of Spain and Egypt. By building this network, Maersk is laying the foundation for a global infrastructure to support its green initiative. This shift to sustainable fuels comes with a significant price tag. Biomethanol costs twice as much as typical marine fuels by some estimates. But with companies like Apple, BMW, and others aiming for carbon neutrality in the coming decades, Maersk rolled out its Eco Delivery Ocean program. This initiative allows companies to pay a green premium to ship their products using sustainable fuel sources, helping them to meet their emissions reduction targets. In 2023, 212 customers opted to ship with the Eco Delivery Ocean program, collectively reducing emissions by 683,000 tons, an 84% decrease, even when factoring in the emissions from producing the greener fuel. Maersk's Eco Delivery Ocean clients now include Volvo, Epson, Nestle, Amazon, and of course, Flying Tiger Copenhagen. At the end of all of this, I don't think these advances on their own means that we've made it, and that we're suddenly all good and we can stop cleaning up our industry. What it does show me, though, is that there's progress being made and that some of these companies are helping to raise the bar that their competitors will need to keep up with. And most of these changes are not just about hitting climate goals. These changes can also help with the bottom line in the long run. But what do you think? Do you think industry is making good progress? Are there any other good examples out there? Jump in the comments and let me know. And be sure to listen to my follow-up podcast, Still to Be Determined, while I keep this conversation going. And thanks as always to my patrons for your continued support. Keep your mind open, stay curious, and I'll see you in the next one.